Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 3rd. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing good. I'm, you know, just enjoying being back in the saddle for a couple days. Just getting Masters fever, actually. Like, I'm giddy. I can't wait to get down to Augusta, to be completely honest.
I'm very excited for the Masters in a way. I feel like it's later than ever, typically. Like, you know, ending as late as possible, basically, whatever it is, the Sunday the 15th. But it's come up on quick on us. I don't know, like, we had our Ireland trip, obviously, just a lot going on in the first quarter. It felt like it came up quick on us. That said, the excitement and anticipation is probably as high as it's ever been, quite honestly. I'm just ready for, given the, underwhelming nature of golf tournaments, professional golf tournaments so far this year, the fractured nature of professional golf, where everybody's in disparate places. I don't know. I'm just very, very excited for whatever it may mean to get back there. So we're close.
Yeah. Also, I've been peeking at the weather.
How's it look? I meant to do that. Should you screenshot it? Catnip?
That's a great idea.
Sure.
That's a great idea. You know,
social meeting adjourned. There we go.
To be completely honest, we've had a bad run of Masters weather. Bad run the last few years, and it looks pretty good. You know, they got a couple chance for showers right now, a chance for showers Thursday and Friday. That's the only rain in the forecast, and like temperatures in the high 70s, low 80s. It's about time. It's about damn time.
Can I offer a somewhat controversial take that we've not had a great run of Masters finishes, I would suggest. Champions, sure. I would say even the Tiger one. I know that's going to sound crazy to people. I've got a half-baked take of workshop. But that was like kind of a, all right, so Frank Molinari hit it in the water. You know, it was awkward because it was early in the day. You know, Scheffler ran away with his, Rahm ran away with his, Hideki ran away with his, DJ was with no one around and not close. The great run of champions, no doubt. But Masters Sundays, I don't think have been exceptional. I'll set a high bar, and I'm including the Tiger one. Great result, great champion, but I think that one, that as a Sunday itself, sort of a half-baked take. That been we can sort of hash it out with fellow writers over beers next week. But
well, that
it
master,
was a weird
the
Sunday. It was
the Tiger
had some great lag putts
and the early start. Remember the weather?
I know.
So it was on in the morning.
It was weird.
It was just it was not a Masters Sunday. If it's not in the afternoon, it's not a Masters Sunday.
The peak was the almost aced 16. I'd say
I was getting my tweet. I was getting my tweet off.
Weather boy?
Yeah, weather boy tweet. Got to looped in some Larry David into it.
Oh, good. Good. In real life tweeting here as we record the podcast.
Well,
so
you know,
anyways.
I didn't want somebody to pop me, get it before me. You know, I forget things. If I don't do it in the moment, there's no chance of me getting it done.
Is that a crazy take? I don't know. Sunday, Master Sunday. I'm ready to be sprinting around from 9 to front to all over the place. I'm ready for action on a Sunday is what I would say. I think we go back to the Sergio win, quite honestly, for a late Sunday drama.
Great Masters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you see the video of the White Sox not having a first base coach?
No, I didn't. I saw the Cubs intro, the pirate, the little impotent little like Sparks they had next to the dugout, but I didn't see the White Sox. What happened with that?
The first base coach went like missing or something, didn't show up to the game. I don't know exactly the context, but they were looking for anybody. They got a guy at the plate, no first base coach. So they're asking anybody in the dugout to go be the first.
It's like my kids, little, like nobody dad wants to actually get out there in the field to play. Just want to be on their phone or hang out, BS with other dads. This is a major league franchise doing this, apparently. Okay.
So anyways, one of my buddies who's a Cubs fan texted out to a basketball text chain. You know, we're United basketball fans. There's division, though, between Sox and Cubs on the chain. My other buddy texts back, "You can't phase us. We hate them more than you ever could."
What does that mean?
Sox fans have turned against their own team.
Okay.
We hate this team more. It's game three or four of the season. They hate this team more than you ever could as a Cubs fan.
Gotcha.
Have we almost reached that level with the PGA Tour?
Oh.
Or some actors on the PGA Tour?
Maybe.
Like you said, you get sent somebody some clip of DeMarco, you know, sounding off about money. And it doesn't even faze you anymore because, like, I read the DeMarco quotes last week and I was like, okay, like, yeah, this is kind of what I would expect some PGA Tour player to say. Like, I'm getting to this point where I'm not even fazed by these insane, obtuse comments with PGA Tour players.
What's the last frontier in someone making diluted money comments? I think like Champions Tour is pretty. That's Lewis and Clark. You're out at the outer edges. You made it all the way to Oregon. I think that's it. Was it the Mina Tour? Is it some guy on the Sunshine Tour shouting about how they should be playing for $10 million. What's the last frontier?
I think the Buell report was up there when you had
the letter,
the lifeblood of the tour, But like, this is the thing. It's gotten so far. It's so far. This comment on this text chain resonated with me with PG. Like, I am not shocked at anything that comes out of some of these players' mouths.
Will anyone complain about the money they're playing for the Masters? That they might need to start bringing their purse up. I think they'll say it about the US Open, the PGA, the Open. I think they kind of bite their tongue when it comes to the Masters. Could be wrong, though.
I mean, if Adam Shanks said something about the Masters purse next week, would you be surprised?
Maybe Purdue plays well. He's feeling himself. He talks about how
Purdue wins the national championship Tuesday.
On Monday. He comes bouncing in on Tuesday. Well, I don't know. I mean, we play for $20 million at the Pebble Beach. What is this? They're building a new media center. They're building a new TV center. They're building a new this, that, and the other. Well, why shouldn't the purse be $50 million? You think somebody's going to say that? I don't think they do on the ground there. Maybe they'll make a comment in November or something, but
that's the thing. I just don't think that I am surprised anymore. I have reached this level that Sox fans have gotten to a game four where nothing anybody could say about my team could make me upset or surprise me. Nothing a PGA Tour player or a pro golfer. I'm not going to let live players off the hook. Nothing that a pro golfer, a male pro golfer, could say would surprise me at this point because of what's happened the last 2 years.
I take that as a challenge. I challenge all male pro golfers everywhere to surprise Andy because I think it can be done. I want someone to work towards that goal.
It might have been because I was on vacation last week, but I read the DeMarco thing. I watched the interview.
People suggest he was joking. He was not. He wasn't joking. It was thrown in there. It wasn't like a grand pronouncement, but it was not a joke.
And I kind of just was like glazed over of, yep, this checks out.
So this is why you're ready to get to the Masters, part of it, right? Where you're ready to get down to Augusta National.
I'm ready for something to mean something other than money.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the Masters is in the majors, all the majors, is that because of somewhat what the PGA Tour has done with its events, is that these events, not only are they going to win a big pile of money, but they're attempting to earn a spot in history in golf. And that's partially because of what's happened to other events that used to be historic that are like no longer, you know, really what they are. But there's only four of them. Maybe you could throw the Players in that really have that history aspect. And if you don't believe, like, that's why collapses happen at the Masters. That's why collapses happen at the Open, more so than other tournaments, is because there is a gravity to the event that is also weighing on a player.
Hey, do you think it'll be more this year with 750 FedEx Cup points? Is that another reason why it's just going to feel extra special?
If you were creating the amount of FedEx Cup points that would be given out at the Masters versus, let's just say, Harbortown the week after.
50 more than Harbortown. 700 Harbortown, 750 for the Masters. I'm glad they're not the same. Quite honestly, that's an accomplishment that they're not the same.
And the purse is less, right?
We don't know yet. The Masters purse will be announced next week. It's probably, you know, it's been about 20 million the last few years. RBC is 20 million. So
maybe we'll actually less per player when you consider
yes,
that
could be. Yes.
The field is only 70 players at RBC. How to make a guide of how to make Harbortown as sleepy as possible includes a 70 person no cut field.
The Sam Ryder test, making six figures for T31 at Harbortown.
But anyways, what would be your FedEx Cup point number?
I mean, what makes sense? Like, if am I subjective? Like, I look at the Masters and then I look at the Harbortown. Harbortown's 700. The Masters should be 1600. I don't know.
You know, on yesterday's Fried Egg Pod, Joseph had Lemagne had quite a provocative take, and I know you haven't listened to it yet because you mentioned
it's full
it.
Of provocative takes. I want to hear it.
His take was that the PGA Tour should not award FedEx Cup points to the majors if they want the FedEx Cup to be a thing, because the majors aren't PGA Tour events.
Well, what's the goal? What's his goal in that? They want the majors to be a thing, or what is it? What's he saying?
He says it will elevate the FedEx Cup if they don't give a point to the majors. I could see it working both ways, personally.
I think in practice might not work real well, because now you're gonna have a FedEx Cup without maybe some of the heavyweights who won the biggest events of the year.
But it would make the PGA Tour events more important for the FedEx Cup.
Right. But that is very important context. More important for the FedEx Cup, which in totality means what?
So what got me to ask you this is, if you awarded 1,600 points for the Masters,
well,
then it would say that PGA Tour events don't matter for the FedEx Cup points.
This is that Japan Golf Tour problem. Remember the Zozo came over and the purse was like 10 million and all the other purses are like 1 million? And all of a sudden you just win the Order of Merit by finishing fifth at the Zozo or whatever it was that one year?
Yes, I remember that.
It's a similar kind of deal. Yeah, but instead it's just 750 FedEx Cup points. I can't, like, and then I love that, like, of a live guy finishes second or whatever, are they just bumped down? I mean, you know, how many people are FedEx Cup point eligible even in that field of 89? You got the Champions Tour players. You've got a bunch of live guys. You got a bunch of amateurs. There's like 40 guys FedEx Cup point eligible. It's a kind of a feast of points when you think about it.
Are they redistributed if an amateur finishes, or are they just like money when an amateur finishes
gets
redistributed?
Down. Yes. Yeah.
Do you think it gets redistributed with LIV players and amateurs and Champions Tour players, even guys that aren't on the Champions Tour? I mean, they got.
I can't believe we're talking about the FedEx Cup point allocation for the Masters for 10 minutes. But I think they just got to, you got to poof. They just got to poof into the air. That's not fair. That's not fair. It's just gone, right? You had your chance and it's gone, would be my guess.
Maybe this is what we should spend quick quotes on Tuesday, asking players how the FedEx Cup points should be distributed.
Is Billy Horschel in the field? Probably.
I don't think so.
No, maybe not.
I think
actually.
Last year
was he top 50 in the world by the end of the year.
Some of Billy Boy's best moments have come at Augusta National when he's just been perplexed.
Featured groups, early Saturday morning featured groups.
American Psycho moments for Billy Boy.
That's a shame. I would have loved to ask him about the FedEx Cup point allocation, though. So.
Pepe Peter could be a good guy to ask that.
Oh, yeah. He would just answer it so earnestly and peppy and just like, ah, you know, I don't know. That's a fair question. I know a lot of people are worried about Crystal and Green Jackets. I do think that gets overlooked, you know?
You know, the great thing, too, is we could get some unbiased answers by asking people like Bryson or Sergio.
LIV?
Yeah,
I think Sergio would just start cracking up. I think he would just start laughing and just like, I don't know, I don't care, would be my guess. It's Sergio.
Maybe this is some shotgun start reporting we can undertake at the Masters.
Who has the most pressure on them going into the Masters for a serious moment? Very subjective thing. I saw Trevor Immelman on the CBS media call, conference call, the Zoom. I guess Nance took a swipe at Golf Digest for editing down his Vern Lundquist submission. They cut it for 1,100 to 600 words, and it's like, I don't know about that on the Zoom.
That
cracking me up.
I gotta say,
solid cleaver chop. Yeah.
Speaking of, I might have to look up something real quick before I comment on this.
Okay. Well, when have we ever done that?
I just want to look up. I want to look up, see if we're still stealing photos over there. Oh, yep, they're still up. Still up, unpaid. All right. That makes me feel a little bit better about what I'm
over
about
there.
To say.
You don't mean CBS broadcast. You mean, Golf Digest. All right. Yep. Okay.
Still have dozens of unpaid photos up on their paid subscription website. That's really rich. Something.
You and Jim Nance could kind of commiserate over that.
How many emails do you think I've sent about this?
I don't know. A few. I got copied into a few. I'm just like, oh, God.
Might be time for the social post, to be honest. Anyways, Golf Digest. It is unbelievable to ask Jim Nance to write something about a longtime colleague. I mean, how many years? 30 years? 35?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, a lot.
30-plus year colleague. You ask him to write something, and then you cut out 500 words of it?
I mean, this is per Nance. Now, if I must play devil's advocate, would I like to read all 1,100 words? I would. I'm with you. Nance has like a standing column or something there. He writes, he's like, if you look in the front, it says like contributing this, that, or the other.
He does the hole by hole stuff occasionally with
every hole at videos. Okay. Well, he writes for the magazine and like his charge is probably, 700 words. He's not paid by the word. I'll tell you that much. He's not paid by whatever he sends. He's,
do you think they're maybe giving him it was 50 just cents like, a word?
I don't think that's the deal he's got. So he probably just sends this like six columns a year for that are supposed to be 800 words or 700 words. And this one came in 1,100. and they just chopped it down. I would like to read them all. If I agree with Jim on that, especially on the on this particular subject, for sure.
Can I ask you one other question?
Yeah.
What is the worst per word rate you've ever been offered?
I don't know. I haven't done a lot of freelancing. You know what was not a great rate was the New York freaking Times. I don't know if that's the worst. But people take it because they want to be in the New York Times. Maybe 50 cents was probably one somewhere, if I can recall. Yeah. What about you?
Somebody asked me to write like 1,000 words on something and they offered me like $250. This was like in the last few years.
How many words?
Like 1,000. And it's like, yeah. What? Like
you know how much time that takes to write too, if you want to write something well.
And it means that I'm not writing for my own company. Like that's the bigger thing. Is that I could write something. I don't have enough time a lot of times to write what I want to write for my own company. And you're going to offer me $250 to write something?
Get what you can, kids. Get what you can. Fried Egg will pay a good rate for freelance submissions. I can assure you that. If you have something good and smart, we will pay you a solid, very above market rate.
Advertise
for you.
What was the original? So Trevor Immelman. What did Trevor Immelman say?
He said the pressure, just, you know, it's what you'd expect. The pressure continues to build for Rory McIlroy is all I saw. The headline from that cover. Like, it's just building and building with every year, you know, that he doesn't get it. Playing San Antonio this year. I would say who would you say is the most pressure? I have a good sneaky answer. Probably not most, but sneaky. Joaquin Niemann. Better show up and better play well. I wouldn't say he has the most pressure, but there's been a lot of carping, a lot of whining. He's never really done much at any major, hasn't played a lot of majors, hasn't had a lot of opportunities. But I think it's incumbent upon him. He's played very well for LIV, on LIV, and played well not on LIV, Australia Open, Australia and all others. But I think he has a good bit of pressure on him to actually perform.
Unfortunately, DL3 is not in the field, so we can't use him as the person that will feel the most pressure.
Yeah, sure.
Zinger's not in the field either.
We gotta get him on the radio or something with Tarico. Bring him in. Do radio broadcasts. Pressure.
I think Rory's got to be on the list, but at the same time, I think that like Rory's pressure is more on the majors as a whole. And I think like the Masters is always going to be one, but I feel like it's been so many years where the Masters probably has just like become this like just thing, you know?
Yeah.
I think in a way he might be past like the idea of like, I really want to win it. And it's more of like, you know, if it happens, it happens. Like, you know, the stages of dealing with something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like he's pretty far down the flow chart.
Yeah. I don't even know if there's a flow chart anymore. It's just arrows pointing in every direction.
So.
And thought bubbles all over the poster.
Yeah. So my point is, like, we're past, like, the stage of, like, I really, really want to do this.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten to this point of like where it's like I've been hurt so many times by this place.
Uh-huh.
So I might go with Rom.
Okay. Defending champ.
Defending champ. But he's gonna be everybody's on LIV for the most part that's a big player has gone through this transition back where you're back and you're playing with everybody. Uh-huh. And to me, the Rom move, more so than any player that went to LIV, felt like this, I'm going to go get this bag of money and I'm going to be back playing with my buddies on the PGA Tour in no time. And now we're at this stage of, I don't know if this is going to happen. I've been forced to prepare. I think Rom is somebody that is very diligent. is very much a, he has his process and he goes through his process and he doesn't like to be kind of moved off his thoughts, his process. All of a sudden he's playing on live and he's being dictated how you are preparing for this tournament. He is playing Doral this tournament, whether he,
I'm excited about
before,
that.
Before this tournament, whether he likes it or not. He didn't get to play last week. He didn't get to play the week before, whether he liked it or not. So he has been dictated exactly how he's going to prepare from a tournament golf standpoint. If this doesn't go well, Jon Rahm is not going to be happy. I think that everybody knows that.
Yep. Speaking of process, you have your morning process. Or you get your little shaker bottle out, you get your little scoop of greens. That is your process every morning these days.
Let me tell you something.
Gut health.
It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for 2 years or so, a year and a half now, I've been drinking AG1. Yeah. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. A lot of people ask me if AG1's the real deal. And from a quality standpoint, quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop because AG1 is NSF certified for sport. One of the most rigorous independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds. I mean, it's a scoop. You pour it in, and you shake it up, and you're good to go for the day. And listen, AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality. And I love that every scoop is also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus 2K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs that will be with me at Augusta House. Subscription at drinkag1.com/shotgun. That's drinkag1.com/shotgun. Check it out.
We'll do a tutorial of you. You rip open your pack, you pour it in water, you shake it up, and you drink it next week in the morning. We'll do
AG1 plus a take.
AG1 plus a take. We'll also have our Good Walk coffee. We are launched, relaunched, double ad, back to back, stacked on top. We're going right on top. Next week, you're going to have your AG1.
Sensory blitzkrieg here.
At commercial blitzkrieg. We're just goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. We got the feedback. Everybody, you know, Car for the Course is re-enrolled. The Bixby subscribers are coming back. If you're new, jump back in. Honest to God, I will be shocked if the customer service and the quality is not of a high quality. That's a terrible, inarticulate way to say that. But I will be shocked. These people have been awesome to work with. I know they make a lot of blends. So goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. We're going to be passing that out next week. We'll have a bunch of it. People come by the Dratty House. Maybe you can throw them an AG1 travel pack. But we will for sure have nice Good Walk shotgun start blend, Good Walk coffee.
Hey,
subscribe. Get on that subscription. It supports the pod. Go ahead.
My recommendation is the light roast. I love it. It's so good. It's a little Papua New Guinea. My joke, you gotta get some Papa in the house. So get some.
Which
Papua
one
New
is that?
Guinea.
Is that the fried egg blend?
That's the light roast, it's the fried egg blend.
Okay.
That's get a little Papa in the house.
All right. You'll see both. I think they're both at that URL. If you go to goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. So,
we got to get some of that sent over to Augusta.
Dude, They're there. We've talked. We had the calls. They're
there. They're dropping
it's coming
it off.
In. That's what I'm saying, man. You know, friends, family, even strangers, we should have coffee for everybody next week.
You know what I need to do? I got to ship the
find out where we are.
I got to ship the Dratty helmet from the shed.
Are you going to? Or you have to? Yeah, just do it. It's a tradition.
I wonder if they're wondering where the helmet is. I've had it since.
I feel like if they were, they would have hunted you down by now because you've had it since Los Angeles, right? LACC?
Yeah. Got to get the helmet. I'll walk over to the Westie store, the UPS store.
The Westie. Ship the helmet, add it to the bill for the Dratty house. See if they notice. For your own. I'm kidding.
Hey, just little live preview moment here. I got to ask you a question. Has there been any player who's demised more over the last 3 years?
Like, I don't think that's
anyone seen a bigger drop in performance over the last 3 years than Lee Westwood.
You're either demise or you're not. There's no scale of demisement. I think.
Like legitimately,
I got you.
I think we got. He's old. Like
he's in great he's shape. In his God, 50s. Helen's posting the workout videos. He's jacked. He's working out.
But he is. Legitimately one of the five worst players on Liv.
I think that's not the whole magic sticks are kind of a mess.
I love Westy. I don't love Westy still. Westy stuck a spear from Westy Island right through my heart when he went to Liv.
Yeah.
And then his commentary just killed me. Having said that, I still check on Westy's results because I've been checking on Westy's results my entire life.
Your life, yeah. I mean, you should be in the Masters. Not in, not by his quality of play, but he's just a fixture at the Masters for 20 years.
He should be a champion.
All right.
Him and Ernie are probably the two biggest Masters heartbreaks. Two of my guys.
He's been bad.
One of my guys and one of my former guys.
He's been very bad. He's been very bad on Liv. He's just a non-figure anymore in the professional golf world right now. His golf, that is. I got to say, I think this is among the most excited I've been for Liv events. Not excited. I'm intrigued. It's a course we have some familiarity with. I think, obviously, we'd like to see how these guys are playing heading into the Masters, those that are eligible. It's a course that's, you know, we've seen on the PGA Tour, we know can be a brute. And I think we just want to, they have real stars. I want to see how John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson, Moore, Sergio, even Pat Reed, all those guys are in the Masters. I would like to see them in some form of competition close to the Masters. So I'm intrigued by this week's live event at Doral.
Yeah. It is. I think the big thing that I'm going to watch is the Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka plays well the week before he wins majors, yep. And you know, slash contends in majors. Are we going to see him? You know, last year before he obviously contended deep into the Masters, even he won Crooked Cat, one of the great live venues.
Lost to history. It's too bad. It's too bad.
Did you watch the Anthony Kim video?
You want? No. You want some good unsubstantiated rumor?
Yeah. Love.
Live unsubstantiated rumor. Live venue. Apparently, Jerry Rich upset them. So Dick Harvest Farms is off the schedule, and they're scrambling to find a... I think they were having the LIV championship there, the finals there. This is totally unsubstantiated rumor. Requires some vetting. It was suggested to me that a place called Bolingbrook.
Oh, I know Bolingbrook.
Does that have an island green?
Oh, yeah.
Suggested to me that had been slotted as a potential site for this LIV finale or individual championship. And like guys have played there before, like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. And so like they're scrambling. I don't know if Rich Harvest Farms is still on the schedule and that's the plan, but that was an unsubstantiated rumor. As we're talking about Crooked Cat and others and what may join the illustrious rota of live sites. So where were we going? Do you want to just go to schedule for the week or you want to keep talking live Durrell?
You know what would be a perfect spot for them to play? It would absolutely kill. Players would hate it. Hate it. Absolutely hate it.
Coghill?
God, give me a second. God, I can't believe I'm forgetting it.
Is it a Chicagoland area course is what you're talking about? Like Illinois course?
God, I can't believe
Harbor?
No. It's not. I just had it. It's Bull Valley. God, I was just thinking about it. Bull Valley is a preposterous golf course.
Is that where like Michael Jordan and Horace Grant used to live or something?
No, it's just so hard. It's just water everywhere. Like you could get it going, but if you miss it, there's just some ridiculous holes. Like these like dog legs. OB right. It's like 30-yard wide corridor. OB right, water left type situation. I could see Bull them Valley. And I could
just
I could
trying
see,
to get in on the bull phenomenon.
Was I could it built see in the it 90s? Happening. Yeah, I could okay. see it happening.
There you go. There you go.
I'd love if they went to Bull Valley. I might attend if they play it at Bull Valley.
Unsubstantiated rumor. I'm not sure. That was sent to me, I forget by whom, a few weeks ago.
Do you want a Ron Witten quote about Bull Valley?
Yeah.
If memorability, not pure difficulty, was the only criterion used to select Golf Digest ranking of top 100 greatest golf courses, Bull Valley Golf Club would probably be on the list on that front as well. Having played the course recently, I can attest that every hole at Bull Valley is memorable.
That is sort of an unintentional. You can read between the lines there on that one. Memorable. Is that on the course's website?
I mean, this is amazing. Actually, he said goes on to say Bull Valley's back nine is simply superb. Hole for hole, as good and varied as anything I've seen in Greater Chicago. Are you kidding me? God, that's a bad Ron Witten quote. You got like literally one of the best back nines in all of golf in Shore Acres.
Uh-huh. Right. I don't see anything in Chicago on the live schedule. So maybe it's still TBD. I don't know if it was announced, but we're still just Greenbrier, late August. All right. Let's get to the actual schedule for the week. We have Liv Durrell. We've mentioned that on the PGA Tour. We have the Valero Texas Open. That is TPC San Antonio, the AT&T Oaks course. That's not the Verizon or T-Mobile. That's the AT&T Oaks course in San Antonio, Texas. One of the oldest tournaments on the PGA Tour, the Texas Open, now sponsored by Valero. That's 4-7 Thursday, Friday, with a 6 p.m. finish on NBC on Saturday and Sunday. NBC's last event, really, until I don't know what they have. I guess maybe the FedEx Cup or something like that. This is their big run.
Is it still the AT&T, or is that naming?
I don't know. Maybe gone. Maybe they're... You know how, like... The Comiskey Park changes every, 2 years. Maybe the naming rights ran out on that. U.S. Cellular, now it's Guaranteed Rate, I believe. Guaranteed Rate Field.
You know, they got a water park here.
At TPC San Antonio?
Yeah. At the Marriott attached.
All right.
Which player would most likely be hitting up the water park when they aren't playing golf?
I mean, are you talking about someone who's going to MC? Just stay for the water park.
Somebody, this is just all. I could see Toasty being all in the water park.
Just need to decompress. You go, 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 like just a psycho, and then he just needs to decompress on the water slide.
Yeah,
wave pool. Could be Toasty. I think you know who could be the subject of that. Be this week's nominee, 3 weeks in a row for Cutthroat Corner. The little diminutive water park going Andrew Landry, who is the subject for this week's Cutthroat Corner. We've done Kevin Kisner.
Andrew Landry. Isn't he a past champion here?
He is inside the field. What's his exemption? You know, of course, we've got Charlie Hoffman, the GOAT of this event. He's on a career money exemption with little Zach Johnson, who I don't know. I figured he was going to the women's Final Four, Zach. This is sort of redeeming the tough year at Rome. We've got Caitlin Clark taking Iowa to the Final Four. But Andrew Landry is on a past champions exemption. I almost went with this exemption for Lanto Griffin last week. But Andrew Landry right now, not in a strong... He's 776th in the world. 700s. This is cutthroat corner. Somebody ranked 776th in the world shouldn't be in a PGA Tour event. He's 204 in the FedEx Cup. He's won two PGA Tour events in his career, an Amex, the Palm Springs, and this event, San Antonio. He's missed more cuts than he's made in 162 PGA Tour starts. Close, but he's missed more than he's made. He's made close to $7 million.
This is like the when your baseball team signs a fifth starter that's got like a career 6.2 ERA,
but he's winning record. So.
No, and he just throws a lot of innings. The redeeming stat is like he went five or more innings in like 65% of his starts.
Gave up six runs every time that went five innings. He's missed more cuts, though. He's made close to $7 million since joining the PGA Tour in 2016. That's on course. This year, he emceed at Amex. He's emceed at the PR Open. That's his stats this year. But he's on a past champions exemption. He emceed at Amex. I had to look. How did he get in the American Express? Beyond 150 prior season the old beyond 150. We're all beyond. I'm beyond 150. We're all beyond 150. So I said, what was he beyond 150? He was last year, he was 221st in the FedEx Cup. He accrued 49 FedEx Cup points last year in 29 starts. 49 points in 29 starts.
Under two points. What is this exemption?
What is this exemption category? That is not performance. Beyond 150. Look closer. He made 49 points and 29 starts. He's playing. He's getting in events off that.
2 points per start.
So he emceed a PR Open where he was also as a past champion member with, you know, Bill Haas and the others that you know, those opposite field events do.
Hey.
All right.
Hey, on Landry.
Yeah.
Just this idea, this is where the tour gets itself in so much trouble. They love to talk about how it's the ultimate meritocracy.
Yeah.
And how, oh, if you don't hit 126, you're done. You're out. If you're not in the top 125, you're out of here. No, you're not.
No.
You'll still get starts. And
yep.
Like anything, yep. You could catch lightning in the bottle in golf more than almost any other sport. And then you could be just fully back. He could catch lightning in the bottle this week, and he could be in the designated events for the rest of the year. It's insane. He shouldn't be in this field. He shouldn't even be on the Korn Ferry Tour. Everybody that earned a spot on the Korn Ferry Tour has done more performance-wise than this guy.
And you got a pretty strong rookie class. Rookies who are performing, who can't get starts.
Under 2 points per start in 29 starts last year.
That got him an exemption. That got him into Amex. Got him into Amex, the beyond 150. This is last year, 2022, 2023. So that includes two wraparound seasons. So he's feasting in two fall stretches because, you know, we had the elongated, like the funky changeover year. Two fall seasons. So he's going, and he's going to Sanderson. He's going to Mike. He's going to Butterfield. This is Andrew Land. He's playing all these. Still, 29 events, missed more cuts than he made. Zero top 25s, not top fives, not top 10. Zero top 25s in 29 starts. This is not a small sample size to get a top 25. His best finish in 29 events that included two fall slates was a T40 at the Puerto Rico opposite field event open. T40. His best finish, 29 starts. His calendar year 2022, results. Cut, 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 WD, cut, cut, cut.
I take back what my comp on the PGA Tour on the fifth starter who gives you five innings. I take it back. This is the reliever with the 63 ERA that your team keeps putting out there. Can't get a guy out. Can't keep anybody off the bases.
I don't mean to pile on him here. He's like one events. He's a pro, but like we're talking
about a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. 2021, 24 starts, one top 25. His only top 25 was a T4 at the RSM, opposite field, you know, a fall event. He won in 2019-2020 season, but he still missed more cuts than he made. With a win, he finished 61st in the FedEx Cup. Well, with a win on his schedule. We're talking about a guy who misses more cuts than he makes, and when he makes one, he just sits in that sort of T40 to 65 range. If you look at his last five seasons, when he makes a cut, he is just sitting in that T40 to T65 range. Almost never gets top 25s. Never. And he misses more cuts than he makes. And he's cutthroat corner. That's cutthroat corner.
Do you know how hard it is to make 29 starts on the PGA Tour and be ranked in the 700s in the OWGR?
I'm not trying to pile on the guy. It probably feels like it. But that's cutthroat corner. We just are trying, if the tour wants to get more lean and mean, we need to start looking at these fields and how everybody gets in them. Everyone. So, do you have a one and done pick? Is it Andrew Landry?
I'm not going Andrew Landry, although, you know, he's a past champ here. I gotta ask you a question. This is the question day for me.
Yeah.
Is Charlie Hoffman's title as GOAT of TPC the San Antonio Open in question here?
Why? Who would make a run at it?
Connors.
Oh.
He could win his third this week. The place is just Taylor. It's just made for him. There's
his money, his hold over the money title is definitely in danger. Because the purses are up and Connors has a lot of starts ahead of him, probably.
Connors has got, do you think he's surpassed Crenshaw and Hogan yet?
yes.
So he's barreling down on Charlie Hoffman. For those that might not know what we're talking about, a few years ago, the PGA Tour released an all-time power rankings for this event, in which Charlie Hoffman was number one. Ahead of Ben Hogan, Ben Crenshaw. And it was because of all of the money he's accrued at this event.
Yes.
They did not factor in that he's playing for way more money than Hogan and Crenshaw.
Who needs to do that?
How many times did Crenshaw or did Hogan win it? Like three in a row or something?
Something, yeah, a lot. When Texas Open was like, you know, a signature event when they weren't called that. Like a legit powerhouse event.
So anyways.
Who's your one and done?
I think Connors. No. I'm going Ludwig Åberg.
Okay.
Or Åberg. What is it now? What is he corrected it to?
Åberg. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Åberg. It's not O anymore. Thing. It's Åberg. I think it's Åberg. Is what pronunciation we're on. So I'm going with him. This is the probably one of the premier driving tests on the tour. So you want somebody that is just a great driver of the golf ball, and I'm taking him here. I'm not ready for him in majors. I think it's a weak field. This is a great opportunity for Ludwig. And it would like set this frenzy of him for the Masters, which I don't think I would fade him in the Masters, but I like him here.
I like Hideki. I'm talking about a tee to green test. Playing well, great. Played well at Sawgrass. Obviously, played well since his win at Riviera. So I'm going to take Hideki. let's rip through schedule for the week. We've got the T-Mobile Match Play. That's at Shadow Creek, a great event.
Great event
on the LPGA.
You think is Nelly playing?
Starts 6 to 9 p.m. That's Wednesday. Mind your schedule. Starts Wednesday because
what a bummer! What a bummer for going for the four, Pete. and you get a match play event, which is very fickle. Yeah.
It's got 18 holes as opposed to 72. Obviously, like I welcome match play
at all times. Yeah. I'm excited about this event. That being said, it's a bummer it's up against Anwa, and it's a bummer that it is in the circumstance of, and who could have ever predicted this, that Nelly's going for a fourth straight win.
Yep. So that's really all week on prime times, 9 p.m. finishes Wednesday through Sunday. So 5 days, 9 p.m. finish Eastern club car championship on this. I assume that's the senior tour.
Love that.
Easy Go got outbid by Club Car for that one. That's, you know, mid morning.
They got Yamaha too. When I was a kid,
Mitsubishi, it's just unbelievable.
When I was a kid, on my keychain, I had a Yamaha, an Easy Go, and a Club Car key, because you know how they have the universal key.
Yep. Yeah.
So I could get in any card I wanted.
Oh, the Club Car Championship is the Corn Ferry, KFT. That's watch our friend Shane Bacon. Sorry, the Master Key.
I just assumed that was the Champions Tour.
I did too. That's the stateside event on the KFT this week in Savannah area. Go ahead.
Do you think they couldn't afford the Champions Tour deal? Because the Champions Tour deal seems more like their demo of who's going to buy a golf cart.
Oh yeah, cruise around the villages and places like that. Yeah. You can't afford DeMarco though. You can't afford that. The price of the brick's gone up for those boys. And then of course we have the Anwa. So we've done the KFT event, LPGA match play, Valero, Durrell, and then we have Anwa. That is, I think this gets full blown like actual TV coverage from Champions Retreat, 1:30 to 3:30 on Wednesday and Thursday, and then the 12 to 3:30 finish on NBC at the big course, Augusta National. That is your, we'll talk much more about this on our Friday episode once we get a few rounds to digest. But Anwa has obviously settled in now. It still feels new to someone like me, but it's got what, 6-7 years of history at this point. So
event of the week,
familiar faces a little bit, I would say, you know, in a Rachel Heck, Amari Avery, Ingrid Lindblad, place people like that who we certainly get more familiar with year over year at this event and others.
Rachel Heck might be playing in this event for 10 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her and Amelia.
Yeah. Amelia Migliaccio.
Which is kind of cool. You know,
Anwa shared some photographs. Amelia Migliaccio has the biggest logo I've ever seen on her shirt of Bridgestone. You know, with our merchandise, we try to make the logo as small as possible. Let's shrink it smaller, sometimes more subtle.
Sometimes they don't come out that way, but that's usually the goal.
This Bridgestone looks like it should be on the outfield of a Major League Baseball. It's the biggest advertisement I've ever seen on a shirt. So
maybe Anwa needs to set in the regulations like the tour has for logo size.
I'm sure they have them, and this is just at the absolute max boundary. So I think that does it for schedule for the week. Cutthroat Corner. We never talked about New York Golf Club and the straight off the streets of.
I think we can save it for Friday. We should
Brooklyn.
Save it
we
for
got
Friday.
Xander coming in with the grit. Yeah, we're gonna talk about New York Golf Club.
I'd like to dive into the description.
We'll do a close reading of the description come Friday. Go to goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. Stock up on your blends for that.
Also,
in advance.
Hey, quick reminder: if you want to get our gnome merch for next week, go check it
out.
We're
low on that. No,
are we?
I thought those sold well. We have a bunch of whack jobs and freaks in our audience buying gnomes.
Well, then you got the Mackenzie Bunker logo too. That hat I want personally. And so if you're in the market for that, the gnome is sold out, I think.
There you go. You're telling people to go.
Well, you know, the gnome sold out. Mackenzie head covers sold out. Gnome head covers are all sold out. There's some putter covers. There's putter covers, and there's stadium cups. That's a good purchase, I think.
Those are, I love those. I love the putter covers. A lot of people bought those. And I like, everybody sends us like pictures of themselves in the wild with their new putter cover or their hat with the disclaimer. It's like, I'm not into that lifestyle. It's like that, not that there's anything wrong with that. After each picture, there like is an attached disclaimer. Like, I'm not into that, but I just love the design. So, all right, those are still available. Some things, some first major.
Oh, there's a gnome polo too.
Oh, great! Pedrati polo.
Pedrati polo.
Those are sick. Those are very nice.
I love those. No mediums. There's smalls. There's larges. There's XLs and there's double XLs.
All right.
A pro shop corner.
All right. There we go. Everyone enjoy your Wednesdays. We'll be back with you on Friday to talk about the New York Golf Club.